It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, significant others. And when we say that phrase, we're usually referring to a spouse or life partner.
Most people, even if they're not in a committed relationship, have fantasies or hopes of one day being in a monogamous relationship.
This is Stephanie Yates Anyabwile. She is a marriage and family therapist.
The goal is to find that one person, to live with them, to build a family with them. That is definitely the expectation societally. And when someone starts dating someone, we're asking, oh, do you think it's serious? Do you think they might be the one? Do you think that you all would, you know, you might get married one day?
And of course, if you do find a partner, there are a slew of norms and assumptions that come along for the ride. Together, these partners are supposed to share a bank account, vacation together, maybe own a home, have kids.
How you should function as a wife, how you should function as a husband.
But what if doing those things causes problems? Does that mean you aren't married to the right person?
I have a couple where they can't travel together.
What do you mean they can't travel together?
They can't travel together.
Like, because?
They'll kill each other. They came back from a trip, and I'm not joking, they were talking about getting a divorce.
So Stephanie says, instead of feeling bad about doing those things, just don't do them.
I have so many people that I'll see, especially in individual therapy, where they are harboring so much guilt because they don't cook, and that's what they saw their mom doing. Or I don't know how to build, and that's what I saw somebody doing. Instead of just accepting that, you know, our expectations may be outdated and they might not work for us.
When we compare ourselves to societal norms, we can develop a sense of resentment toward our partner, as well as a sense of shame for how we ourselves are coming up short.
Here's Stephanie Yates Anyabwile on the TED stage.
Now, before we really get into this, I have to say that some of us have to reckon with the fact that we may be with the wrong person. And that will be clear if your deepest desire is that your partner change fundamental aspects of who they are. You really want them to be a different person. But if you're confident that you're with the right person and you just still feel frustrated and dissatisfied, we may find that rejecting everything we've known about good relationships is the key to actually having one. I work with couples every day and I help them through relational crises. I remember I was working with an engaged couple for about a year. They were struggling to make a blended family work. One partner had kids, the other one had never lived with kids before, and they moved in together after only knowing each other for 3 months. One time I went on vacation, and by the time I got back, they'd called off their wedding. But why? Their love was honestly, it was evident, and they were not cruel to each other. Their issue was figuring out how to continue building their romantic relationship while also figuring out how to raise teenagers who, to be honest, already had two very involved parents. They weren't really in need of a third. After a particularly big blow up over chores and responsibilities, I finally asked a dangerous question. I said, do you think that living together has hurt or helped your relationship more? We took a few weeks to explore that question, and they decided to test it out. They got a short-term lease on an apartment nearby for the partner who didn't have kids. And we were really strategic. We made a contract. Let's talk about dates. Let's talk about expectations while you guys are living separately. And by the time they came back to me, I'd never seen them communicate so well. They said that they were looking forward to every weekend that they got to spend together. It felt like a vacation because they would spend the entire week planning their time together and savoring every moment they had together. They also found that their individual relationships with the kids drastically improved without the pressure of trying to transition them into an entirely new household dynamic, especially when they only had a couple years left in the house. So at this point, some of you may be asking yourselves, what kind of couples therapist recommends that couples live apart? That's a fair question. And to be honest, for a majority of my clients, this solution would not work. And that is the point. There's no such thing as normal when we're talking about two unique individuals with their own backgrounds and their own values.
So when a couple comes into your office, what are some of the common issues they have? Is it, you know, we're worried that we're not compatible or we're arguing, or where does it go wrong with the significant other?
Yeah, vast majority of my couples come in and they say we're having issues with communication. However, usually through couples therapy, we can identify more specific issues or lifestyle factors that are making it almost impossible to communicate about what you're actually needing.
What do you mean lifestyle factors?
So if you have, let's say, a difference in values, for example, if you're in a relationship and your partner is like, I'm having a hard time sleeping with you, and you hear that and you personalize that, you internalize it, you feel rejected. You feel like your partner is saying that they'd rather be sleeping with someone else. But what they're saying is that they've went 18, 20, 25 years having a bed to themselves, and now they're sharing a bed with someone who might sleep very differently than they do. They might have someone who moves a lot or needs all the cover or prefers it cooler or hotter. Small things where it's hard to talk about what could we do about that. And so sometimes, you know, I'll throw out a suggestion like, well, is it absolutely necessary based on your values to share a bed with your partner every night? Do you need to be in the same room? Do you need to be in the same house? You know, allowing yourselves to really consider alternatives to what you've always seen on TV or what you saw your parents do, or really a lot of times the thing that we're competing with is the fantasy in our mind about what a relationship should look like.
So what do you think you're giving couples? Are you just sort of saying like, why are you making a big deal out of something that really is more like a logistics problem? Are you giving them permission to stop getting in the way of their own happiness in some ways?
Sure. Sometimes it's permission. And sometimes also it's just floating the idea of, you know, your relationship seems really hard. I don't think your relationship should be that hard. You know, there are so many factors where we're trying to squeeze ourselves into something that doesn't work. And so I'll just ask them, you know, do you think this is worth your relationship? Because that's what's at stake here. There are some things we could test out, and I always bring it up as an experiment. Let's just do an experiment. Let's see how this works. If we try this for a month, for 2 months, and you're still in the same position, maybe there's something bigger happening that we need to talk about. But in the off chance that we really are just arguing about the dishes, or we really are just arguing about your bedroom, if we fix that, can your relationship be easy again? And a lot of the time, I see that it really can be.
One conflict that comes up a lot in my work is the difference in values between arriving on time and arriving looking and feeling your best. Neither one is wrong. But I had a great model for this with my parents. When I was growing up, we drove absolutely everywhere separately. You know, if you're going to be a little bit late, you arrive with my mom. And if you're arriving on time, you go with my dad. They had two minivans for only two kids, okay? We didn't go anywhere together. And one time when I was about 12 years old, one of my closest friends finally worked up the courage to ask me about it. And I could tell she was so nervous, like I was about to reveal to her that my parents were secretly separated and she just figured it out. You know, now that I think about it, I bet her mom put her up to this. What's interesting is that her parents did go on to get divorced, and my parents stayed together for 23 years before my mom passed away. Now, do I think that's due to them commuting separately? Of course not. But I think it shows us two things. First, it shows us that any deviation from the norm can be met with curiosity and even judgment. It also shows us that sometimes when we decide to do things a little differently, we can avoid the difference between having a really challenging day as a couple or a smooth day by simply accepting our differences, not as a couple, but as individuals.
This speaks to what you were saying earlier about people thinking that their relationships are, quote unquote, hard. But if you remove the thing that's making it hard, it can go back to being easy?
Yeah. So sometimes you have more serious discussions. And I would consider children to be, that's a bigger discussion. So I have a couple who they both were very motivated to have children. And so they went through a round of IVF and it looked extremely promising, but in the end, they ended up having no viable embryos. Mm. Now, during that time, she had so much pain during that process. Her hormones were out of whack, and she was really at a point where she's like, I've made peace with the fact that I don't want, I can live without having kids. Like, I don't have to have kids. I don't have to adopt. I don't have to go through the surrogacy route. Like, I'm happy in our marriage. And her partner was like very, very reluctant. So they kind of came to me to talk through this, you know, really to assess, like, can we make this relationship work? It really became clear that he felt like he was letting his parents down. Hmm. You know, he's the only child. So some of it was just accepting that this is not your grief to carry. You know, this is grief that you're feeling on behalf of your parents, who, if they understood the situation, probably would be understanding. And even if they aren't, you know, this is your marriage or relationship. So come to find out, they were on the same page. They were trying to have kids for the sake of other people. If it would have been easy, they would have been great parents. But with the level of stress that it was putting on them individually and on the relationship, it just really wasn't worth it.
Instead of trying to change our partners, what if we instead embraced their differences?
There's a line in your talk that people loved, and I really loved. And you said, it's okay if people are confused about your relationship.
It's okay if people are confused about your relationship. It was never theirs to understand in the first place.
You know, it's so funny. That was a very late addition to the talk. So I was very surprised by the response to that. But that is the truth. A lot of times we are so much more consumed with what people think about our relationship, people we haven't even met. You know, we're worried about how people are going to perceive things. You know, it doesn't matter if I invested 20 years into my relationship looking one way. If we decide that we want to do things a little differently now, that's okay. We have grown, we've evolved as people, and we want to explore something new. We want to keep growing and doing it on our terms.
If we continue to accept the narrative that relationships are hard, then we'll continue to do nothing about it. If our relationships feel hard, I encourage us to reflect on what is hard about it. Is it really the relationship? Or is it external factors like our own personal trauma histories or work stress? If it really is your relationship, let's really think about what you and your partner are willing to do differently to enjoy it again. I want us to reject everything we've ever known about relationships and challenge ourselves to create a relationship that not only defies expectations, but honors the peculiarities that make us, us. Thank you.
That was Stephanie Yates Anya Bwile. She is a marriage and family therapist. You can find her on her YouTube channel and watch her full talk at TED.com.